Now, Lord, may my words bring honor to you, and may they bring clarity to the good news of Jesus Christ that we have heard this morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is my Jeep. It was my Jeep. And I loved this Jeep. It did not love me back so much. I saw one going down the street this past week, and it made me think of it. In fact, it looked almost exactly like it. This Jeep was able to go anywhere and do anything. It had a little lift on it, as you can see there, some really big tires, and I could do all kinds of things. I could go across if there was a line of traffic, and if you remember what I said last week about traffic, I don't like traffic. I don't like waiting. I have no hope that I could get to the end of the line. So I could make my own paths in this. I mean, I could just take off over curbs. I could, you know, go over culverts, all kinds of things. It was fun. When I was at my farm, I could do all kinds, go to, you know, through the mud. I could go down the creek bottom or whatever. No problem. Except most of the time, my wheels were out of alignment. Because if you do all that stuff and you have a suspension like that, it's going to go out of whack pretty easily. And so I was always living in this tension of one wheel on the front going one way and the other wheels going the other way and just jiggle around. And of course, the roads here in Shreveport or anywhere in Louisiana are pretty bad. And so all the bumping and all that, I had to go to the doctor and have them check my kidneys because it was just really that bad. But I really miss it. But it was just that constant, you know, having to fix things and get the alignment back together and all that. I never could really enjoy the ride because I was always worrying about the wheels not going where they needed to go, being completely out of balance. As I was reading the gospel for this week, and the Isaiah text, I really thought a lot about what it means to be out of balance and what it means to be going one direction and needing to go another direction, almost being pulled in one direction and then pushing against that to go in another direction. When I get like that, I am restless. I am agitated. Jenny could tell you, but not on her birthday. I am agitated. I feel incomplete when I am not at peace with myself, or I'm not at peace with someone else, and certainly when I'm not at peace with God. I don't enjoy life when I'm like that. And there's always this urging, this desire to make it right, this desire to do whatever I can do to bring harmony back, to bring peace, to bring balance, and to bring completion where there is just this feeling of being incomplete. I wonder, have you ever felt that way? Yeah. This week? Today? Yeah. I think we all know that feeling. We know what it feels like to be out of sorts, whether it's with another person in a relationship or whether it is with your boss or whether it's with your teacher if you're in school or with your spouse. But certainly, we all know what that's like with God because we are all sinners, aren't we? Each one of us. And so we all know that feeling. And some of us respond to it. And some of us don't. But what we hear in our text this morning, our Advent text about peace and about preparation, they really help us understand that we are not the only ones in the world who have felt out of balance, who have not been at peace with God. And by the way, whenever we're not at peace with God, it's not God making war with us. It is us making war with God. And all the varied ways that we do that. But the texts this morning, I think, are so helpful. And they are so bright. Last week, we talked about darkness. And we talked about hope and like a little glimmer of hope. And if this room was dark and we lit the candle like we did last week, then you see that light. And it kind of illuminates what's around it. Now we have two lights. And these lights help illuminate even more. So we're moving from hope to peace. and preparation. And this is what was taking place with the people that Isaiah was speaking to. And as he was telling them what God had told him to say, these words in Isaiah 40, they're wonderful, aren't they? If you look back at them, it's great news. Like, Israel, you have been beaten down, and you've really gone in the wrong direction, and you're suffering the consequences of your own actions. And so Isaiah says, God's angry at you. God's really upset with you. And then he says, but God is coming to you with love and reconciliation because you have returned to God. And so God is at work in your midst. And he says, your debts have been paid, right? That's a good thing, isn't it? If I came to you this morning and said, hey, your debt has been paid. I mean, right before Christmas, you've probably already gotten some debts, right? Just for Christmas, and you shouldn't. But you probably have. And so for somebody to come in and say, your debt has been paid, has been wiped clean. And here is your God, Isaiah says, here he is. God has been here for you. You went away from God. Now God is still pursuing you. And now God is going to prepare a way for you not only to be at peace with God, but to be at peace, being able to get out of Babylon. Remember, they were in exile in Babylon for, 50 to 70 years. And as they are led back to Jerusalem, they have to rebuild the temple that the Babylonians tore down. And they got to put it all back together. He says, I'm going to make a way for that to happen. And that's a contrast. And here's a painting or a picture of the destruction of the temple as the Babylonians came in and then hauled people off. And then you see just really the sadness as they were away in Babylon. So many of the Psalms are laments about being in a faraway place and not being where you can see familiar sights, like in the temple, eat familiar foods that are your people's foods, and not being able to sing like you did when you were with your people and in your temple. And so they're lamenting all this. God, when will you bring us back? But then Isaiah says, well, you're back. You may not see it completely right now, but I am preparing the way, and you will be there and enjoy the full peace of all of that. Our gospel text this morning is hundreds of years later, and you have John the Baptist, who is standing out in the desert. And I don't know if that's him. I think somebody did take that picture. But he's out there in the desert. He's in the wilderness. He's out there because God called him to go out there. And I don't know about the locust part, but I mean, maybe God said, I want you to eat locusts out there. But I'm going to make it a little bit better. I'm going to make sure you have some honey. You know, you can put on those locusts. But he's out there. He's calling people to repentance. He's calling Israel, his own people, to repentance, saying, if you will come out here and get in this Jordan River, I will baptize you. But the baptism is for repentance. It's because you're showing that you've been going against God's agenda for the world. You've been neglecting the poor and the sick and people in prison, all of that. You have had no justice in the way that I want justice. And so I am calling you to make a change, to repent. And you can do so by getting in this water, showing your commitment, and being baptized. And so John was saying, in fact, if you look at the beginning of that, it says, Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. Much like Genesis begins in the beginning, and John also begins his gospel in the beginning. Mark is saying, and he's much shorter and more concise, this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. Look out, because the good news just keeps getting better and better and better. And so he describes this for them, and he calls them to come and to repent, and some of them do, and then some of them don't. I wonder today, are you at peace You don't have to answer that out loud. Sometimes in churches where I throw out a rhetorical question, people will answer. I learned that in my second church. And Jenny's laughing because she knows the story, and it's not clean enough for me to say in here. But I had a lady do that one time. Anyway, not to that question. It was another question. So are you at peace this morning? Just think about that. Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with other people, your neighbors? And more importantly, are you at peace with God? Well, wherever we are with that this morning, what we ought to know is that there's good news, right? Amen. Turn to somebody this morning. Just say, there's good news.
There's good news.
Okay, so there you have it. There is good news. And the good news is, like Isaiah wanted Israel to know, the penalty's been paid. So our sins have been taken care of. God has sent Jesus into our world to forgive us of our sins and to reconcile us back to God. And so that has been taken care of. God has made peace with humankind through Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing to know. Because we keep trying to pay the penalty. It's like going to one of these payday loan places, right? You think you've got it paid. And by the way, don't ever go to one of those. Come talk to me if you've got one of those and we'll help you get out of it. I mean, well, wait a minute. We have a program called Hand Up Loans, and it's a proven way, an alternative for that. So, let me clarify that. So, to know that you don't have to keep, like when you go and the guy says, well, you missed it by 2 seconds, so I'm going to charge you interest and here's another fee, you'll never get out of that kind of debt. And the same thing is true with sin. We just keep sinning and sinning, and God says, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to give you an alternative. And that leads us to preparation, that we are to make changes. Just like John the Baptist was calling people to make changes, and just like Isaiah was calling people to make changes, there is repentance. And repentance means changing your mind, changing your actions. And when you do that, then you are able to get back into balance with God, removing the obstacles. If you'll notice that the mountains were made low and the valleys were lifted up, there's this reversal that's going on, and we have to reverse our actions. That's part of our preparation. So whatever it is that you're doing that is driving you away from God, change and go the other direction and follow in the way God wants you to go. And the last part of that good news is that Isaiah says that God comes and gathers us in his arms like a shepherd and gently loves us and gently helps us and carries us up against his bosom. Like if you see in the picture where, the pictures of Jesus, you see where there's a lamb over his shoulders. But even this is more intimate, where God is holding us gently. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of gentleness I need. That's the kind of love that I need. The love of God for us. And certainly it brings us to peace. There's a quote by Thomas A. Kempis. It says, find peace within yourself. Then you can also bring peace to others. And so for our world today, and as we think about, gosh, there is such a need for world peace. We feel it more this year than we did last year. There's more going on in our world. There is more strife and warfare. And if we're ever going to bring peace to the world, then it begins with ourselves, doesn't it? It begins with getting peace within ourselves and with our God. And then we, like Isaiah and John the Baptist, can make a path to the God who loves us, who longs to gather us. Amen.